So I'll be presenting on some of the investigation looking at poisoning data for HIV and HCV prevention. So I probably don't need to go into much of this as it was just presented on, but just a little background. You know, we're all aware and just heard about the outbreak, HIV outbreak that occurred in rural southeastern Indiana last year, and this was a major public health emergency. In early 2015, investigations began into new HIV infections in rural Indiana, and by the end of January 15, 11 confirmed cases were identified. This was in a county of Indiana that had, I think, less than 5 cases annually, so 11 confirmed cases by the end of January was truly remarkable. And after investigation into this outbreak, it was found that it was associated with syringe sharing partners who primarily injecting prescription opioid Opana, as we had just seen in the previous presentation. So this outbreak in rural Indiana raised questions and potential concerns at the Minnesota Department of Health about the ability to detect and respond to a similar outbreak in Minnesota. So this type of analysis had not really been completed, or not a great deal of resources had gone into analyzing current data sources for potential risk factors for a similar outbreak in Minnesota. So with this in mind, a work group was convened at the Minnesota Department of Health. They include members from both injury prevention and infectious disease unit. So we both units were involved, would be involved in an outbreak kind of different perspectives. So injury prevention more from the poisoning drug use perspective, while infectious disease more from the prevention of HIV, HCV, and other potential infectious diseases associated with injection drug use. So the goals of the work group were to identify potentially high-risk areas for an outbreak of HIV or HCV from currently available data sources, as well as locations throughout the state of Minnesota where future resources for prevention should be placed. And primarily those resources were related to syringe exchange services and screenings for infection. So the first step in the analysis was to identify the data sources each unit currently had available to aid in this analysis. So from the injury perspective, we have hospital discharge data and death certificate data available to us. And so this would help identify areas of the state with more hospitalizations or deaths associated with poisoning incidents. And from the infectious disease unit, they identified current surveillance databases for HIV and HCV in Minnesota, which would identify areas with greater prevalence of HIV or HCV in the state. So I will focus primarily on the injury data sources, as that primarily what I work with and have access to for this project. So for Minnesota hospital discharge data, I used 2009 to 2014 data, which was the most recent we had available at the time of this analysis. Cases were selected on any listed ICD-9-CM diagnosis for poisoning, abuse, or dependency for opioids, cocaine, or amphetamine. And the cases identified were then totaled per year by the patient's county of residence, and the top 10 counties for the number of cases were mapped. And additionally, to provide a more detailed analysis, granular analysis, the total number of cases per year for the patient's zip code of residence were also mapped. And finally, due to kind of the geographic and population distribution in Minnesota, the 7-county Twin Cities metropolitan area was excluded from a secondary analysis to provide greater detail about the distribution of cases in greater Minnesota. And for death certificate data, the same years of data were used, 2009 to 2014, and cases were similarly identified based on any listed ICD-10 code for poisoning by drug. And just as with the hospital discharge data, the same methods were used for ranking the counties and mapping them as well. Results from the hospital discharge data and death certificate data were compared and overlapped with HIV and HCV surveillance data. So more specifically, there was census tract data available on cases of HIV that had injection drug use listed as a risk factor from the same time period of 2009 to 2014. And for HCV, acute cases of HCV under the age of 30 that were identified from 2009 to 2014 were additionally used for this analysis. And these cases were mapped using StatScan at the census tract level to provide areas in the state with greater risk for these diseases. So again, just the focus, this presentation will be more on the hospitalizations and death certificate data. That's what I work primarily with. So for the hospitalization and death certificates, the tables that we see here are the top 10 counties in Minnesota ranked by the number of drug-related hospitalizations or deaths that occurred in that county over the six-year time period, and rates per 100,000 are also included in the table. So when examining the tables, we see that the metro counties, metropolitan area counties, stand out. That, for example, Hennepin County, Ramsey County, Anoka County, in terms of the number of cases, but the northeast region of the state, that includes Duluth, Minnesota, Carlton, and St. Louis counties, they have the highest rate of hospitalizations in the state. And so these results are not necessarily surprising. They also validate the methods that we used for this analysis, because we know these are our areas of the state that generally have highest rates of drug poisonings in the state. So these are two maps of drug hospitalizations on the left and deaths on the right from 2009 to 2014. So this is the same data that was in the tables in the previous slide, but now it is broken down by year instead of total across the 6 years. So each year is a separate color, as you can see in the middle of the two maps there. So 2009 is brown, 2010 red, 2011 green, and so on. And so the lines on the map correspond to each year that the county was among the top 10 counties for drug hospitalizations or deaths, depending on the map you're looking at. And the color denotes which year it was among the top 10 counties. So the more lines or more colors, the greater number of cases of drug-related hospitalizations or deaths. And so from these maps, we see a great majority of the cases are around the Twin Cities metropolitan area, kind of in the south central, as well as a higher number of cases in the St. Louis and Carlton County in the northeast region of the state. And we also see a fair number of cases in the southeast Olmsted County region, which is Rochester, Minnesota, and that's where the Mayo Clinic is located. And these are two maps of the same data, drug hospitalizations and deaths, but this time mapped by the zip code of residence. So we see a similar picture here, clustering around the Twin Cities metropolitan area, as well as a greater number of cases in northeast and southeast Minnesota. The numbers do get pretty small relatively quickly when broken down by zip code, so this makes it slightly more difficult to interpret the map. These maps, though, do provide a kind of interesting visual just distribution of the cases to see certain areas of the state with more hospitalizations and deaths, and they do align with the county data. So now on to the second analysis that was completed. This one excluded the seven-county Twin Cities metro area. To get a better idea of the distribution of cases throughout greater Minnesota. And so you see the total number of cases over the six-year time period, as well as the rates, as was in the previous tables. So we see that St. Louis and Carlton counties are high on the list again. That's the northeast region of the state, as well as the southeast, the Olmsted County area. So the overall picture of the state and distribution of hospitalizations and deaths is slightly different than what we see when the Twin Cities area is included in the analysis, we see a greater number of cases in the northeast section of the state. So these maps follow the same structure as before. We have hospitalizations on the left and deaths on the right. Each color again represents a year, and each line represents that county being among the top 10 counties of hospitalizations or deaths for that year. So as mentioned, we see a high number of cases in the northeast and southeast regions of the state, similar to the first maps, but to a greater degree with the metro area excluded from this analysis. And we also see a significant cluster number of cases just to the northwest of the, which is around here, this area, just to the northwest of the metro area. And so that's the, St. Cloud, Minnesota area. But it's interesting that shows up after we exclude the Twin Cities area. So these are, again, maps of drug hospitalizations and death cases mapped by the zip code of residence. So similar to the numbers before, the zip codes, they get pretty small relatively quickly when mapped by zip code, so it was a little more difficult to interpret the results. It also simply more difficult because there's a greater distribution of cases seen when with the zip code of residence. It does appear though that there are similar clusters, somewhat apparent when compared with the county level data from the previous maps, although there is a greater distribution of cases. So we still kind of see clusters in the northeast, southeast, and just the northwest of the metro area there, and more cases throughout northern Minnesota. So these two maps are same as I've seen before with drug hospitalizations mapped by year, and the map on the left includes the metro area, and the map on the right excludes that area, so the first and second analysis. The new component of these maps, however, is the HCV infection cluster overlays that you can see in the yellow, orange, and brown. There are more clusters than what you see here, but they're generally in the Twin Cities area, and they're just too small to be seen at a statewide map. So from these two maps, though, we see that drug hospitalizations and clusters of HCV align fairly well. There are a lot of cases in the metro area in the northeast portion of the state. However, it does highlight areas of the state where there are greater numbers of drug hospitalizations, where there are currently no HCV clusters. That would be around the northwest or northwest of the metro area, as I mentioned before. A similar pattern is observed with the death certificate data, and when we overlay HIV data, although that is not shown here, we see clusters in the Twin Cities area in the northeast northern Minnesota. So just a quick review of the results that have been presented. So from this analysis, counties and zip codes in the 7-county Twin Cities metro area account for a majority of the drug hospitalizations and deaths. And when the second analysis excluded the Twin Cities area, a slightly different pattern emerged with increased number of cases in the northeast regions of the state, just northwest of the Twin Cities in the southeast region of Minnesota. The rates of hospitalizations and deaths are highest in the northeast region of the state, and when the results were mapped by zip code, the picture becomes a little less clear due to the relatively small numbers per zip code, as well as the greater distribution of cases. As also mentioned, when HCV and HIV clusters were overlaid on top of the hospitalization and death data, they did identify similar areas of the state, and they aligned pretty well. That said, however, there were also a couple areas of the state where there were higher numbers and rates of hospitalizations related to drug use, where there were currently no HCV clusters. So the results of this analysis they validate current knowledge of areas of the state that have increased drug hospitalizations and deaths and greater prevalence of HCV among the population. But they also highlight regions of the state where there are greater drug-related hospitalizations and deaths, but no current clusters of HIV or HCV, but environmental conditions may provide easier transmission of disease based on drug use. So a next step in this analysis will be to also overlay locations of syringe exchange programs throughout the state, see how well they align with current areas of HIV, HCV, and drug use. And so the health department, we are aware where these programs are occurring, but I think it'll be just a nice visualization to have all three layers of that data in one map to see how well they align and where resources may be provided. Additionally, these analyses and results will help to direct future prevention and harm reduction resources to areas of the state that show the greatest need. They also provide evidence to continue the current efforts and maintain the resources they currently are, but also additionally with essentially the federal restriction on funds for syringe exchange programs lifted, this opens up the possibility for resources for prevention to be directed and used in new ways than health departments have been previously able to. And so this was also mentioned in the previous plenary presentation. So the CDC recently released an analysis that they completed that examined the same topic but used a more sophisticated methodology. Their analysis was titled County Level Vulnerability to Rapid Dissemination of HIV, HCV Infection Among Persons Who Inject Drugs. So I am hoping to replicate this analysis with Minnesota county-specific data and compare it with the analysis I presented here. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they compare compared to my relatively simple analysis that I presented and this more sophisticated analysis that CDC released. So, and this is not to say that one is better than the other, but I think that this will help inform both analyses and validate methods for identifying vulnerable counties. So I think with that, I guess technical difficulties, maybe they're kicking me out anyway, but acknowledge my colleagues at the health department in both injury, violence prevention, and infectious disease, among others, and also thank SAMHSA and CSDE for funding my position at the health department. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. And so thank you very much for your time and your attention. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now. So far, there isn't anyone, so okay. We'll start it off.
So I'm just kind of thinking about that. You suggested an overlay of the needle. because of the political sensitivity of needle exchange programs, I was thinking maybe we shouldn't do that part, ever really show that map, because once you do it, it becomes public information.
I think within the kind of work group, we'd be useful for us. And we have that knowledge already. So, overlaying it, we don't have to overlay it. Exactly. We can mentally overlay. Maybe we have two maps next to each other and we can just, do that ourselves. But yeah, it is a good point. And we do know that there are, kind of some underground needle exchange programs going on that aren't fully recognized, but they are providing the services and that wouldn't show up there. So, yeah.
Sure. Thanks for the presentation. Just wondering, in the overlay of Hep C cases, I think you were showing Hep C cases under 30.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered the overlay for all ages, or would that make a difference?
I'm not entirely sure about Hep C. That is not the area I'm familiar with exactly.
Or do you know why they just showed the Hep C cases under 30? I'm guessing to not include the boomers that were maybe
exactly
to reflect more recent infections.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. That's why that cutoff was used for the cases.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Great presentation. Just wanted to add one other piece. In addition to the needle exchange, it also helps us set up programs with screening and screening for HIV, HCV, and then referral to care. So, for multiple reasons.
I have a related question, which I was just sort of thinking, in addition to this methodology that your simplified version and the CDC version, it's really looking at an outbreak epidemic of HCV. Would the analysis data, the analysis or the systems you set up, if we had a sort of a bad drug go through, synthetic fentanyl or something else wrong with it, we started seeing either
So I was asking if the system you set up and the CDC system, which you're going to look at soon, if there were other applicable measures that, if we had a bad fentanyl come through that's synthetic and it's got something wrong with it and you started seeing overdoses and deaths, how quickly could you then look at this? And maybe you see it in one county, but could you predict other?
Yeah, so we get the hospital data quarterly at the moment, so we could look at it. If we hear of something, it would be, 3 months or so from the time that we would hear it to be able to look at it. But we are working on increasing or decreasing the time that we can get access to the data with the hospital association. We're seeing if we can move that down to maybe monthly, something like that. So that would increase our ability to analyze the data then. And we've also explored looking at using syndromic surveillance, possibly using that system to more quickly identify cases. And then we could use pretty much the same methodology with codes and, text field searches, whatnot, to identify these cases once we identify or notify them.
In addition, you got poison control center data.
Absolutely.
And you are looking or have ability to look at the mortality data on a daily basis.
That's true. Yeah, as death certificates are finalized, we get updated, and so yeah, I can look at that right away.
Were you guys doing any kind of stratification by race or age or anything like that to try to
Not for this. This was just kind of the first analysis. We just want to look statewide and see how this distribution of cases was. And absolutely, we could, you know, we are somewhat limited by the data. Hospital discharge, we don't have race information in that. So the data are limitations there, but another place to look into.
How has this information been shared back
to
the county?
Currently, we haven't shared it with the counties. It's been just kind of personally vetted within the health department. Yeah.
Thank you.